This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, July the 5th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started with today's news stories, let me just say a quick thank you to everyone that is liking this video, to everyone that is subscribed to this channel, and to all of those that are obliterating the hype button. Thank you for smashing that hype button. Let's discuss the Putin-Trump phone call that took place yesterday on July 4th. Now, Russia President Putin had sent a message to Trump on the eve of the July 4th celebrations, wishing the United States and the president a happy Independence Day. And yesterday, we had the U.S. president initiate a call with the Russian president. The call lasted 85 minutes. Almost an hour and a half, if my Annalena Baerbock math is correct. That is a long phone call. Obviously, the phone call was not just about wishing a happy July 4th and saying a quick hello. That's not what this call was about. After all, it was initiated by the president of the United States. And the call was initiated ahead of Trump's trip to Turkey, where he will take part in the very big, very important NATO Ankara summit. So the main topic on the agenda, according to Ushakov's readout, was Project Ukraine, though they did discuss the conflict in the Middle East, Iran, the memorandum of understanding. They also talked about all of the amazing possibilities should there be an economic cooperation, a settlement to Project Ukraine, and then an economic cooperation between the United States and Russia. They also discussed the World Cup. Putin talked about how Russia managed the 2018 World Cup, and he wished the United States well, as it is hosting one of the co-hosts of the current World Cup. But Project Ukraine, that is what they really discussed in this phone call. And Ushakov, in his readout, he said that Putin briefed Trump on what's happening on the front lines, on Konstantinovka, in Konstantinovka, and how Russia is continuing to advance across the entire front line, the importance of Russia's capture of Konstantinovka. Putin once again told Trump, as he prepares to go to the NATO summit, to not believe everything that the Europeans and Le Gobelin Vert will be telling the U.S. president about the situation on the front lines. They are going to downplay Russia's success. They will not even recognize Russia's advance across the front lines. And that was Putin's warning to Trump. Well, his message to Trump, telling him that they will tell you that everything is a stalemate and the tide has turned and Ukraine is winning and Russia is losing. And Putin told the president that is not so. We will see if Trump actually listens to Putin Trump, of course, is always making decisions depending on the last person to speak with him before he is about to make a decision. Whoever can speak to Trump last before he takes a decision, that is usually the decision that Trump will take. So Ushakov's readout, he said that the president's talked about the Ukraine settlement. Trump will be going to Turkey on July 7th and 8th. Ushakov said the U.S. president reaffirmed his readiness to facilitate an early termination to the hostilities and the search for peaceful solutions to the crisis. His special envoys, Witkoff and Kushner, will carry on their mediation efforts and are ready to come to Moscow at our convenience. Our convenience being Russia's convenience. The Russian president reaffirmed our commitment to a political and diplomatic settlement of the conflict with due considerations for Russia's known principled approaches. However, Kiev and its Western sponsors rely on drawing out and even escalating the conflict and terrorizing civilians. Moreover, the European party of war, that's a quote, proceeds from a false perception of the overall situation and developments on the front line. Our president has outlined the real situation on the battlefield where the Russian armed forces are confidently advancing, liberating one settlement after another. Ushakov also said in the statement that no matter how hard the Kiev regime clings to the remaining fortified areas, our army will definitely take them. That is what Ushakov said in his readout. So once again, you see the Kremlin trying to separate, to create a separation between the United States and the rest of the collective West, calling the rest of the collective West, especially the Europeans, the party of war. A direct quote from Ushakov, Colors Cafe here in Limassol. Very cool place, upscale cafe. Of course, it's a bit upscale because it is part of the Four Seasons Hotel here in Limassol. So will Trump listen to Putin as he goes to the NATO meeting, or will he arrive in Ankara and be dazzled and mesmerized, hypnotized by the charm of Le Gobelin Vert and Macaron and BlackRock Mertz and believe everything that they are telling him about the conflict in Ukraine and how Le Gobelin Vert has indeed turned the tide? Mr. President, Zelensky has turned the tide, Macron will tell Trump. More money, more weapons. We need the U.S. on side. And Trump is going to either say, that's not the case. I spoke with Putin, and my generals are also telling me that the situation on the front line is really bad for Ukraine, so no more support. Or is Trump going to say, Macron, I believe you. You're a good friend. You're good allies. You're good friends, all of you. BlackRock Mertz, Globalist Maloney. We had a bit of an argument last time we met over a selfie photo, but you're a good friend, and I'm going to continue to give money and weapons to Zelensky. Not give, sell. Sell weapons. Give money, sell weapons to NATO, and then NATO will give those weapons to Project Ukraine. I think that's what Trump is going to say. They're going to show him photos of drone strikes and stuff like that, and Trump is going to be mesmerized by these photos and smoke and all of these things, and he's going to say, push harder, Zelensky, push harder. We must defeat Russia. I'm going to be the president of the United States that defeats Russia. Putin continues to go along, apparently to go along with the U.S. neutral mediator narrative. So that is the phone call between Putin and Trump. And we also had a phone call between Trump and Le Goblin Vert, the Green Goblin. Now, we don't know who initiated the phone call because the White House has not published a readout of this phone call on their website. Zelensky posted about this on social media, but we have no information as to how long the call was and who initiated the call. My guess would be that Zelensky initiated the call in order to congratulate President Trump in the United States on Independence Day. And I will take a further guess and say that the phone call did not last very long. It definitely did not last as long as the Putin-Trump call, which lasted for 85 minutes. I cannot see Trump talking to Le Goblin Vert for 85 minutes. No freaking way. No way. But Zelensky, in his message on social media, he said that they discussed tactics, the military tactics, the front line, the situation there, and diplomacy. Zelensky said, and I quote, "There is a real prospect of ending this war, and America's resolve will be crucial. We agreed to continue the conversation in person during the NATO summit in Ankara." Zelensky also congratulated the United States on Independence Day, and he thanked Trump for all the assistance provided, from javelins and patriots to political support. That is what we have to go on from the phone call between Zelensky and Trump. Zelensky is making it out as if this was a very, very good phone call. But my guess would be that it was a very short phone call, and they will say everything in person at the NATO meeting. Why is Ukraine going to the NATO summit? Good question. Why are they going to the NATO summit? Why is Ukraine invited to the NATO summit? So it can collect a check, a $10 billion check, and to push for more weapons from NATO CEO Mark Rutte. My sources are telling me that, my anonymous sources familiar with the matter are telling me that Zelensky also brought up the crypto investments of U.S. President Trump. That's what my sources are telling me. My anonymous sources are telling me that Zelensky, when he was speaking with Trump, he told the U.S. President, "Mr. Trump, President man, listen, I read somewhere you make $2 billion from these Mimi coins. What are they called, Podolyak?" "Mr. President, I believe they're called meme coins." "Ah, yes. You make money from these Mimi coins. $2 billion. Maybe you want to create a Mimi coin about me? We can call it the Green Goblin coin." "We make money, Mr. President. Lots of money. I buy many homes." Anyway, that's what my sources are telling me. They're anonymous, yeah, but they're very familiar with the matter. Okay, we are at the beach. Let's walk that way. We got the Four Seasons was over there. Yeah, that's the Four Seasons. This is the Mediterranean, right? Yeah, this is the Mediterranean. Good hotel, the Mediterranean. Good value for money, I believe. I think the Amethyst Hotel is down that way, which is a very nice hotel at the level of the Four Seasons. So what's going on with the conflict in Ukraine post Konstantinovka capture, for which Zelensky refuses to accept? Zelensky is saying that Konstantinovka was not captured. He is actually saying that if it was captured, then Putin can meet me there. Right? That's what Zelensky is saying. If Russia has captured Konstantinovka, then Putin can come and meet me at Konstantinovka. That is some Green Goblin logic, everybody. Putin was just there. Wasn't he just there the other day, meeting with Yerasimov? He was just in Konstantinovka. Zelensky, you just missed him, man. You just missed the Russian president. He should have gone. He was there meeting with Yerasimov, Belousov. We're here at the famous Amethyst Cat Hotel, and we have a new resident of the Cat Hotel. Excuse me, Mr. Limassol Cat. The fee is 10 euros a night to stay at the Amethyst Cat Hotel. It's a bit pricey, but you have a beach view. you have all-inclusive food as well. Hey up, Amethyst Limassol Cat. The cat's like, buzz off, Alex. I'm staying here for free. All right, let's see here. Yeah, so Zelensky is proposing a meeting in Konstantinovka. The goblin man. He can meet me in Konstantinovka if they capture Konstantinovka. Hey, Podolyak, this is good logic, right? Yes, Mr. President. You are very logical. You are a logical, pragmatic leader. Yes, I think I am, Podolyak. You're a very good friend. Oh, boy. Peskov, in reply to Zelensky, Peskov said that Zelensky has an open invitation to come to Moscow. He says, you're always welcome to Moscow. He actually said, when you get serious, when you're ready to make a serious decision in the best interest of your country, then you have a ticket to come to Moscow and meet with the Russian president. That was Peskov's reply to Zelensky, to Zelensky's proposal to meet in Konstantinovka. Now, a Russian military official gave us some more information about Konstantinovka, saying that the Russian military, that the Ukraine military, the Russian military eliminated over 13,500 Ukrainian soldiers. Now, I don't know if this is casualties plus KIAs or just KIAs. What we have is lost. That's the words that are being used, that Ukraine lost over 13,500 soldiers trying to hold on to Konstantinovka, for which the general said that Konstantinovka was the most fortified area in Ukraine's defensive belt. So after Konstantinovka, I'm not saying things are going to be easy, but perhaps you could say easier, maybe. But we are getting reports that when it comes to Slavyansk and Kramatorsk, that Zelensky and Ukraine are refusing to evacuate most civilians from those two towns. Those are the reports that we're getting from the Russian side of things. But that's the message from the Russian general. We also have the Russian Ministry of Defense saying to Ukraine, proposing to Ukraine that on July the 6th, for a certain amount of hours, Ukraine stops shelling Konstantinovka, and that the Russian military hands over the bodies of fallen soldiers to Ukraine. For about 5 to 6 hours, everything stops in Konstantinovka, all activity and military operations, and the Russians start handing over the Ukrainian fallen soldiers to the Zelensky regime, a proposal which the Zelensky regime will reject, no doubt about that. We are also getting reports that Liman is about to be captured. The Russian military, the group forces west. They are conducting precision strikes in Liman, and they are removing the last remaining elements of the Ukraine military in Liman, finishing up the clearing operation. And then Liman will be announced as captured. Now, last time I was here, this statue was damaged. Have they fixed it? No, they have not. So the Cyprus, the Limassol authorities, the mayor's office or whoever is in charge of this, is not watching my videos. Unfortunately, they are not following me. They need to fix that statue. Russia continues to hit gas stations and fuel trucks in Ukraine, disrupting fuel and logistics for the Ukraine military on the front line. And yesterday, Ukraine launched upwards of 500 drones, as well as Flamingo missiles. I believe 8 Flamingo missiles, I want to say, or maybe more than that, into Russia, including Moscow. And, you know, the reports that I'm getting, and this could change as the day goes along, are that the Russian air defense, they handled everything. Nothing got through. No drones, no Flamingo missiles. Once again, this could change as the day goes along, but those are the initial reports that I'm getting. Some parasailing over there. Oh, here's the Amethyst Hotel. Yeah, this is the Amethyst Hotel. These are apartments. Zelensky, in a speech yesterday, said that everyone can now see that we have taken the initiative away from Russia, and we are returning this war to where it came from, to Russian soil, to Russian skies, and to Russia's shores, to the home harbor of this war. That is what Zelensky said in a speech yesterday. As Konstantinovka is captured, as Liman is about to be captured, as Donbas is about to fall, Zelensky is still running with the narrative that the tide has turned and Ukraine is winning. He has to say that ahead of the NATO meeting. It's very important that the EU cool kids, the globalist cool kids, and especially US President Trump, buy into the fiction that the tide is turning and Ukraine is winning. So that's an update on what is happening on the front line. Let's shift gears and talk about Iran. Axios put out an article yesterday with the title, Trump says Netanyahu knows who the boss is ahead of possible White House visits. Yes, Netanyahu is slated to visit the White House, not next week because of the NATO meeting, but the week after next week. Axios is reporting that this will be the first meeting, face-to-face meeting, between Netanyahu and Trump since the meeting in February, the infamous meeting in the Situation Room, where Netanyahu convinced Trump to green light the war against Iran. This is what Axios is reporting. So this is going to be the first face-to-face since February between Trump and Netanyahu. And Trump told Axios that Netanyahu knows who the boss is. And that boss is Netanyahu. Trump knows that Netanyahu is the boss. That's not what Trump meant. Trump wants to say that he's the boss. But we all know who the boss is. Okay. Trump's the boss. Trump is the boss. According to Axios, people in Trump's orbit have grown increasingly skeptical and disillusioned with Netanyahu in the months since their February meeting. Many of Trump's closest advisors think that Bibi was wrong about everything, a U.S. official said. A meeting with Trump at the White House would be hugely important for Netanyahu as he kicks off his campaign for October elections, where polls have him trailing. Netanyahu is hoping that Trump's popularity in Israel will help him gain in the polls, but I think that a lot of Trump's popularity has also gone away in Israel since he signed the MOU. So I don't know how much help a face-to-face meeting with Trump is going to give Netanyahu, but no doubt that Netanyahu is going to be meeting with Trump to tell Trump to break the MOU. Break the MOU before the October elections, and let's restart the conflict. That is going to be Netanyahu's message to Trump. Will Trump obey? We will see. Trump's advisors think that BB was wrong about everything. The good cop, bad cop. BB led Trump astray. Poor Trump got duped by Netanyahu. Oh, well, what can Trump do? He got duped. The U.S. president was misled by Netanyahu, according to anonymous sources. Axios reporting. Axios also said in the same article that he told Axios that regarding the funeral of Khamenei, for which millions and millions of Iranians showed up, millions of Iranians showed up, many foreign leaders also showed up. Some surprises as well. For example, Saudi Arabia sent a very high-level delegation to Iran. That's got to mean something. Representing Russia was Medvedev, and he actually held talks with Pezeshkian during the first day of the funeral. But 10 million, 20 million? Millions and millions of people showed up to Khamenei's funeral. Anyway, Trump told Axios that that Iran is begging to make a deal, but said both sides decided to take a week off from the talks until the events around Khamenei's funeral end. Trump said neither side will shoot at the other. They are all there, one shot, and we can take them all out. But we are not going to do that because then we would have nobody to negotiate with. Trump was also surprised to see some Iranians crying at the funeral, saying he thought people hated Khamenei. Maybe it's fake. Tears, Trump mused. If Trump really said this, like if he really said these things, then he is absolutely clueless about what is happening in Iran. Completely and absolutely clueless. Fake tears? Really? Really, Trump? Fake tears? He was told that everyone hated Khamenei. He was told that if he removed Khamenei, if he killed Khamenei, then the people would rise up and they would overthrow the government. Fake tears? Really, Trump? You really bought into all of that? And then he says that all the leaders are there. I can take them out, one shot. And I can take the leadership out. But then who would we negotiate with? Yeah, good plan. Let me fire missiles at the funeral event, and let me take out the leadership of Iran. Let me take out Medvedev and the Russian delegation. Let me take out the Saudi delegation. Let me take out the Pakistani delegation. And on and on and on. Yeah, it's a real good idea. That would cause all kinds of problems for the Trump administration. Oh boy. An update on the Monaco bombing, the assassination attempt of the Ukraine oligarch. Interpol has identified a suspect, a Ukrainian woman. She is wanted for the attack. Suspect identified as Anastasia Berezovska conducted several site surveys before the attack while dressing up as a man, according to the head prosecutor. 39-year-old Ukrainian woman living in Germany or hanging out in Germany. How about that, huh? Hanging out in Germany. Connected to the SBU, perhaps? Possibly. Probably. So let's do a clown world. Should we do a clown world? Yeah, I have a couple of clown worlds for today. Clown world number one. No, I like this idea. It's a good idea. Not much sand, right? Go down the steps, like a swimming pool, come out of the water. No sand. Good idea. Very good idea. So Clown World number one, coming from Politico. Irish EU presidency to cost triple those of Cyprus and Denmark. So Ireland has the rotating EU presidency, and it is going to cost Ireland for the 6 months around 300 million euros to host the EU Council presidency. Cool. Hosting all the events and paying for all the events and the security, the dinners, the shrimp cocktails, the champagnes, the conferences, all the conferences that Stunning and Brave and Van der Caesar are going to, actually, let's go this way, and Van der Caesar are going to speak at. 300 million euros. That's going to be the cost. Triple the cost of Denmark and Cyprus. Denmark was at around 80 million and Cyprus was at around 93 million euros. What a waste of money. Talk about flushing money down the golden toilet. Got to print out flyers, brochures, little gifts that you give the people that attend the events, gift bags. Maybe some bobbleheads of Kaya Kallas and Ursula. An Ursula bobblehead. That's the gift bag that Ireland is going to give to everyone that attends the presidency events. Oh boy. That would be pretty cool, actually. Ursula bobblehead. Tatters, 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 tatters. Oh, man. Anyway, that's a Clown World number one. Clown World number two is the craziness in the UK. It rolls on. The authoritarian UK rolls on. So YouTube published a message where they reveal that the UK government is running a, 1 second, let me enlarge this image. The UK government is running a public consultation called Watch This Space, a new strategic directive for UK media. The proposal includes mandatory changes to how content is discovered on YouTube. This could direct audiences away from your channel. As a UK creator, this directly impacts your future. Digital content discovery works best when driven by user choice, not legal requirements. This is a vital window for you to share your perspective before the consultation closes on August 31st, 2026. So what is going on here? The UK is, Starmer 008 is, or has put together a directive for social media, for YouTube, where they are requiring the network to prioritize UK government approved news sources. For example, the BBC. So basically, in the UK, when you open up YouTube, what you are going to see, whether you're subscribed to the BBC or not, doesn't matter. What you are going to see are videos promoted by YouTube, pushed by the YouTube algorithm of the BBC, of the other UK media outlets, whatever, The Telegraph or The Guardian, ITV. That's going to fill up your YouTube homepage. It's going to fill up your recommendations, your suggestions, search. All of it is going to be filled up with Starmer-approved media. And the channels that you're subscribed to, the alternative media, it's going to be very difficult to find. So that is what Starmer is doing. That is what he is compelling YouTube to do. And the directive is going to come into force, or at least the window to debate this Starmer directive is going to close at the end of August. The UK government to legally take over the YouTube algorithm. The UK will force YouTube to promote approved content and hide critics of the regime. This means the BBC and all the other content will be pushed to UK citizens. Ah, democracy, democracy, free speech. Western values. That's the video, everybody. The Duran.locals.com. Starmer's got to rush all of this stuff through. He's got to get all of this stuff through before he exits. Or at least he's setting it up nicely for Burnham when he takes over. That is the video, the Duran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble, on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Merch on the Duran shop. Check us out on Substack as well. Got a fish tavern here. Looks really nice. Very nice tavern. Take care.